Hi, everybody, and thank you for listening to this Council of Deans of Health podcast. My name is Josh Neiderost, and I'm a Senior Policy and Public Affairs Officer at the Council of Deans of Health. And I'm joined today by Sarah and Jenny, who are going to talk about the work that they have been undertaking to develop innovation in practice learning. Sarah, may I hand over to you to introduce yourself?
Hi, my name's Sarah McRae. I work for the Greater Manchester Training Hub, and I'm a clinical educator for social care.
Jenny.
Hi, I'm Jenny Etchells. I'm one of the primary care practice education facilitators at the Greater Manchester Training Hub.
Thank you both, and it's a great pleasure to speak to you today. Now, my first question really, I'd be really keen to understand from you, what was the innovation that you delivered? Please could you let us know about it?
Yeah, absolutely. So our innovation was a placement pathway for undergraduate learners to spend time working clinically in the COVID-19 vaccination centres. So when the global COVID-19 pandemic struck in March 2020, primary care immediately lost all of our placement capacity and learners that were allocated to us, mainly due to primary care limiting footfall and drastically changing the way that they worked. So as things started opening up again later in the year, it was becoming really difficult to place learners back into primary care. One of the main reasons we found this was due to estate issues. Some of our GP practices are quite small, very old buildings, which meant that social distancing was impossible, and the safety of staff and learners and patients couldn't be guaranteed. So as the COVID-19 vaccination programme started to be rolled out in December 2020, kind of always had it in my head that the vaccination centres would be an amazing opportunity for learners to engage in the mass vaccination campaign. And when I did my first shift at one of the vaccination centres on the 18th of December last year, I could really see what a rich learning environment that it could be for our learners. So the idea was that the learners would be allocated to a COVID-19 vaccination pathway, and they would spend time doing a mix of virtual learning and clinical placement time. The virtual learning would kind of look at the theory behind COVID-19 and the national and global vaccination programme, and the clinical placement time would enable the students to be part of the biggest mass vaccination campaign in our history. So the students were assigned to work as admin, as marshals, vaccinators and data inputters within the COVID-19 vaccination clinics. And the national protocol kind of really helped us here and kind of aided the experience the learner could gain clinically, as it allowed the non-registered workforce, so our students, to administer the COVID-19 vaccine as well. So that's kind of the background of our placement pathway. It was set up and run by the nursing team within the Greater Manchester Training Hub. So the team of PEFs and clinical educators facilitated all the learning. We ran the practical clinical skills sessions, we supported reflective discussions, we supported project work, and we ran online teaching sessions related to COVID-19 as well. So as a team, so Cora, Deb, Sarah and myself, we all worked alongside our colleagues in practice as well in the vaccine centres, supervised and assessed our learners within the clinical vaccination hubs, and just made sure that learning objectives were mapped across the pathway to make sure that all of our learners were getting a quality learning experience and that they all had the opportunity to meet the learning objectives for their respective courses. I hope that kind of covers it.
Jenny, thank you so much for that and giving us insight into how that was set up and how the vaccination rolled out in your area. Obviously, this had profoundly positive impacts for service users in your locality, but I'm really keen to understand sort of the learning outcomes of the innovation and what are the plans for the innovation going forward?
Okay, so with. As Jenny's already touched upon, there was a massive decrease in learning environment allocation space within the placement circuits within primary care. So we were really looking to try and increase that capacity and create learning experiences and exposures for our learners. But we also recognised that it needed to be of high quality. It wasn't just a case of finding places, it was a case of giving very good learning experiences. We take pride in our learning experiences here at GMTH. And with this amazing pathway, we managed to take on an extra 35 students than we wouldn't have been able to take on otherwise. We managed to support 11 physician associate students or PAs, and we also managed to do two cohorts of student nurses as well, which amounted to about 21 in total. One of the things we had to ensure was that these learners were in their third year, because the expectations of what they were required to do meant that they needed to be able to independently work, as well as they were going to be learning on the job as well, but they needed to have a little bit more knowledge and experience to ensure that they wouldn't feel out of their depth, and that required a lot of previous experience as well. So the third year's got a really good experience within the vaccination hubs, but we also managed to get them some time out within primary care as well, because our main role within Greater Manchester Training Hub is to encourage people to look at careers within primary care. You know, we're here to champion primary care as a viable career option, and we can't do that unless our learners gain exposure. So some of our larger GP practices were happy to support a number of learners, but on shorter, maybe spoke days, placements instead. And within those days, they were given some, you know, really amazing opportunities to run clinics and really see what was going on at the heart of the pandemic. You know, when our GP practices were really, really struggling, we tried to facilitate student learning as much as possible. And from the second cohort we had out of those 11 nurses, three of those nurses then went on to get a newly qualified role as a general practice nurse, which has been fantastic. It's great to see them come back out with us and now join on our GP nurse fellowship and foundation programmes that we run. So it's lovely to see that progression from them. A lot of our learners managed to engage with the primary care workforce. And in some cases with those staff out in the vaccination pathway, those registered staff have really refound their passion for educating in the current workforce. So they may have, I'm not sure if you're aware, but a lot of the nursing staff and medical staff that were working in the vaccination centres, a lot of them had retired or had gone on to other roles and had come and worked in the vaccination centres as locums to help out with the national push that was out there for the vaccine. So a lot of these nurses may not have worked in practice for a number of years, or may not have come across learners due to the type of work they do. As we all know, generally speaking, if you're agency or locum, you don't tend to support learners in practice as much. And now this has been shown as our locality training hub's been receiving inundations of emails from a lot of these workers. Now the mass vaccination hubs have died down a little bit because we've managed to get most people vaccinated with the first and second doses. We're getting a lot of requests to see what roles there are out there in for some of these people to come back and actually work within primary care as well. But also a lot of practices that hadn't previously taken students, the practice nurses were then going back into their normal roles and thinking, well, I've managed it in a vaccination hub. I think I could manage this back in my own practice and work really hard and support those learners in practice and really encourage them to come out into primary care, because they started really seeing the value of exposing the learners to their work streams. And this has really facilitated the increase in student placements in general for the future, and really by supporting our sustainability of general practice workforce, hopefully. And, you know, our GPs and our practice nurse colleagues are really seeing the benefits of newly qualified coming straight into primary care rather than coming from other areas once they've qualified. The learners on the COVID-19 vaccination pathway really did manage to enable improved health outcomes for patients, because they were directly involved with all those people coming in the mass vaccination centre. And it wasn't just about providing them with that vaccination. We found that because of our learners' passions, that they were picking up on slight nuances maybe that you wouldn't normally have time to do because obviously being super new, they had that little bit of extra time where they might notice something maybe off about someone, as in maybe their mental health and well-being may have been compromised by the long periods of time that people have been shielding or staying at home, and they were able to direct them. And we did a lot of work with discussing with them how we would work with people that may be struggling with long-term effects of the COVID lockdown, and how they could direct them to social prescribing and other services available within primary care. So we really took advantage of our time with the learners to let them know about all the other services that are integrated within primary care. It was a really good opportunity to give them that wide range. They were able to actually fully join the vaccination workforce during their placement, and many of them who were part of the vaccination are now continuing to vaccinate as non-registered professionals. They've filled in their Greater Manchester vaccination passport, and they're continuing to work and help with the vaccination cause, which is really brilliant. It's lovely to hear. This has helped develop part of a national solution to increase the vaccination workforce. And furthermore, we've enabled the building of relationships across primary care, and hopefully this will encourage students to apply for more roles in the long term. And the feedback we got from our learners was absolutely fantastic. They were so delighted to be part of this once in a lifetime campaign. We hope this never comes again, that it does never happen again. And they've managed to be, you know, a part of history. And it was really encouraging, the feedback about all the things they've managed to learn while they've been out with us.
Sarah, thank you so much for that. And I think both you and Jenny have done two things really already. You've really outlined the importance of primary care as a, you know, such a critically important career option for healthcare professionals. And also the great work that, you know, our student population and others did in terms of vaccinating our population to protect them as best as possible from COVID-19. And I think this is such a, you know, a special case study in regards to that. So thank you. Thank you for that. I'm going to turn now to sort of the potential challenges. And I wonder if you'd be interested to talk about the challenges that maybe you experienced in sort of rolling out this placement opportunity and innovation, and also the challenges that it potentially addressed as well.
Yes, yeah, so our first cohort of learners, first and second cohort of learners, we used 5 CCG areas across Greater Manchester to put the learners into the clinical environment. So we worked with those 5 CCG areas really closely. One of the biggest challenges was that kind of on a national level, the vaccine clinics were really punctuated by the vaccine supply, which was really varied and really fragile. I think at the beginning, there was meant to be a 7-day kind of notice period of when the vaccines were coming, but often it was the day before or a couple of days before, and the areas would really struggle to kind of put clinics on and work logistically and that. So for our learners who like to have everything planned and have shifts well in advance, that was quite difficult to manage, but it wasn't something that we couldn't overcome. Meant that some of our students, our learners, we sent elsewhere. So we were able to send them to the COVID-19 swabbing centres. We were able to give them days with nurse practitioners in the COVID clinics. In some of the areas, there were COVID-19 call centres. And actually what we found is that it gave them a really well-rounded experience of how primary care was managing with the global pandemic, and how all of this kind of input into our response to the global pandemic. All the opportunities showed the real extensive work that primary care has been doing throughout the pandemic. And as Sarah said earlier, give them a really well-rounded view into kind of everything that primary care encompasses. So that was one of our challenges. So another one of our challenges was that the guidelines continued to kind of be updated on a regular basis. For example, the guidance around pregnancy and breastfeeding. And as such, we had to really ensure that the learners were aware of the fluid environment that they were entering. And the clinical educators and the PEF team really supported them to keep up to date and engaged with the appropriate resources to make sure that we were keeping everyone safe, themselves, the patients and the staff within the vaccine centres. So as I've said before, the first two cohorts of learners, we utilised 5 different CCG areas across across Greater Manchester, and we found that everyone was using the national protocol slightly differently in their areas. One of our areas weren't allowing any non-registered workforce to administer the vaccines, and so for us it meant that that not all the students were getting the same experience of the clinical aspect of the pathway. It meant there was a lot to discuss when we came to reflect and review on the different areas and talk about experiences, but it also meant that some of our learners were finding it easier to tick off their learning objectives than others were. So for the third cohort, we really switched it up, and we utilised the Mass Vaccination Centre in Greater Manchester, so the Etihad. The four clinical leads there were absolutely amazing in supporting us with that, and it just made sure that all the learners were given the same clinical experience. It really standardised the clinical experience that the learners were getting. It also meant that the centre was open 7 days a week, and it gave us more room to work with shifts and ensure that the placement hours could be achieved for our students.
Thank you for that. And I think, you know, we all remember the sort of differing and very fluid environment that was sort of occurring at that time, and also the sort of difficulties in getting vaccine supply at that time, you know, was something that, you know, was widely reported. So the logistical challenges, I'm sure, were quite immense for yourselves and colleagues. I sort of want to turn next to the effect that the pandemic had on implementing your innovation. I wonder if you could speak to that.
So, well, the whole innovation came around because of the pandemic. That we wouldn't have had this innovation, wouldn't have needed this innovation, and we couldn't have done this innovation without the pandemic, because it all circled around the COVID vaccination itself. But it was really interesting. It meant we got to audit ourselves as a learning environment, which was quite an interesting way of taking an internal look on yourselves. And as part of the background work, before we could have the learners, we had to engage in that audit process that we've had to do for everywhere else. So it's quite interesting to do it on ourselves, become the clinical learning environment. So we, because of this, we were able to have students directly allocated to us, and it meant we could spoke them out as well. So it meant we had a lot more control over exactly where our students went, which was quite interesting. Because of being the training hub, one of the ways we tried to proceed with the student placement was by engaging and working with the primary care networks, which was one of our core objectives for the future anyway, was to try and engage primary care networks as well as GP practices to work with us and learners and have students at that primary care network level. So because we'd started work with the primary care networks in order to produce these clinical placements, it opened up that communication and relationship to enable us to start talking to the primary care networks as learning environments as well, which aided us. The pandemic and this placement pathway really did expedite that way, that we did this as primary care networks, because it, in the first two waves that we did, the primary care networks themselves were the ones that were leading on those vaccination centres. So although we worked with CCGs, it was the individual primary care networks that were providing the services for that vaccination centre. And the workforce within the Mass Vaccination Centre was a bit of an issue. Not because there wasn't any members of staff within the workforce, but more because of the nature of how that workforce was made up. It wasn't a regular group of people that were there day in, day out, and that was their job. A lot of the time, these nurses have been pulled from their day jobs to come and cover. So there was no continuity of staff groups within the vaccination centres. This is in the first two cohorts. And then also a lot of the staff that were running, working in the vaccination centres were locums or agency staff, so they'd come on specifically just to do the vaccination. So there were people that maybe had retired or had taken a break in work and just came in to do some, or they were doing overtime to try and help out as much as they could. And those registered staff ranged from nurses, which we're used to having doing that, from, you know, retired GPs, we had physiotherapists, we had quite a lot of registered staff that were coming to administer those vaccinations. So from that point of view, the interprofessional exposure to our learners was really, really interesting. And the feedback from some of the learners was really, really good, because, well, actually, on this day, I managed to work with a physiotherapist. And although, you know, we were only doing vaccinations, when there was a lull in the vaccination centre, we actually got talking about what they did as their day job and what other things they did. It was, they were able to really bring together how that interprofessional relationship might work in practice and things that they could put into practice in the future, and you know, encourage them to maybe think about spending time with those professions as part of their placement later on. And some of them did then go and follow, say, the practice nurses or the GPs as a bit of a spoke placement later on during this placement. It also made it quite difficult for us to identify appropriate staff ahead of the day-to-day placement to give the learners a named supervisor. So I know that, you know, although the standards have changed and you only need one supervisor, you don't have to work with them. We all know, and it's the same with any of us, we like to know what we're doing and when we're doing it. So it's nice to be able to have a name that when you turn up at a like the vaccination centre for your placement, you can say, oh, I'm looking for Mrs. Jones. I'm going to be working with her today. And sometimes that wasn't always possible for to be able to give them a name before they got there, which, you know, was not the best experience for some of our students, but they were very resilient. They did get sort of understand why that process was. And also because the staff were not the same, it was very difficult for us to assign practice assessors for our learners. So we found that we, as a clinical education, practice education facilitation team, we had to take on a lot of extra man hours in order to ensure that this placement ran smoothly. So we took on the role of practice assessor, and we did do a lot of clinical supervision and reflection time with these learners to ensure that their mental health and well-being was well supported. But all in all, even though it was seemed quite difficult, I think all members of the team and all the learners did thoroughly enjoy themselves.
For that answer, I now really want to turn to a question around about advice, and advice that you would give to other universities or practice placement settings looking to implement similar innovations. And, you know, what is holding you back from expanding this innovation further?
I can do. 2 seconds. So my first piece of advice is do it. There'll never be a more perfect time to do something along these lines as right now in the middle of a pandemic. I mean, you're never going to get this opportunity again. It hopefully is a once in a lifetime thing, and we'll never have to suffer in this way again, and work hard to you know, really provide these sort of learning experiences. But what I would say is, if you are thinking about utilizing students for vaccinations in mass vaccination centers or smaller local vaccination centers, it's really important that we make sure there is a good, strong support mechanism in place for those learners and for the staff that are supporting those learners. It can be quite a lonely placement, even if you're out in a group. You know, as anyone who's worked in the vaccination centre can attest to, you're in a small cubicle on your own for most of the shift, and it's really important to make sure that there is that mechanism in place for learners. It's really important that you engage and work with the placement areas closely. I mean, we were very, very lucky. We had fantastic enthusiasm of the universities we liaised with in the early stages, and they really bought into the vision that we had for the placement. We had some fantastic support from one of our lecturers, Julie Fletcher from the University of Bolton, who carried out the audit of the training hub and has been invaluable with her advice in how to go forwards. And they did provide us with quite a lot of the first bunch of students as well, which was great. Really work with the areas to identify the cohorts that the certain pathways are more suited to. So the universities know where their learners are at within their training and what skill set they already have. And we found this pathway was better for sort of second and third years and suited a shorter placement length, because although we could attain a lot of the clinical skills and clinical proficiencies that the learners needed to attain, it was quite limited with just how much exposure of different things you could get. So there was so much you could do. So obviously there were different roles that Jenny's already touched on within the vaccination centres, but it could be quite limiting in just sort of the breadth of exposure. And again, if we can, what one of the things we really found that benefited from this, if you work with those placement areas and support them, then, you know, they're going to be more likely to move forward with you on future innovations. I mean, we came up with a lot of exciting ideas when we were having conversations with some of these new practice placement partners as we were working together, we were throwing ideas around what we could do next as our next innovation. And we've got lots of food for thought to be thinking about now over the next year or so. I think the biggest thing holding us back was sometimes with the way that the clinical competencies for the nursing students are written, it causes the students to be quite focused on particular skills and how they can attain a proficiency within that skill. And it makes them, they're not as flexible around how they would attain those competencies as potentially could be in other ways. So it can be quite difficult really trying to show them how you can map those competencies to that clinical experience. And how they would go about maybe attaining a spoke to achieve an experience that they needed. But we did work really closely with them, and those that needed exposure to clinical skills that they just wouldn't get within that placement. For example, we had a group of about five or six students in one of our cohorts that really needed exposure to nasogastric tubes. Unfortunately, within my role, I work with a care home that does lots of work with PEG feeds and NG feeds, and they put on a really lovely study day for us and gave them exposure to residents that they looked after that had PEG feeds, just to give them that exposure, so they didn't feel like they were missing out by not being in an environment that might have exposure to more of those clinical skills. But it did limit them, because they came in with a different outlook to what that placement could give them. But we worked really hard with them, and then by the end of it they realized that they would never get an opportunity like this again. It's just about encouraging those learners to embrace the new opportunities that are available in these non-traditional placements, and realise that it's not always about getting those proficiencies ticked. Sometimes it's about getting the kind of experience that you might never get the opportunity to get again, and thinking outside of the box about how that experience can really help shape you and your career, and what skills and knowledge that you can gain from that and then implement within your own future and for your patients in the future.
Sarah, thank you for that. I'm going to ask both of you one final question, really. And you've both spoken about the critical importance of primary care as a sort of opportunity for career progression, but also, you know, obviously as a practice learning environment. And I'd be really interested to understand, you know, your thoughts on how primary care can, you know, potentially develop students and innovations that, you know, may benefit the primary care arena when thinking about education.
I think Sarah and I could talk all day long on how amazing the primary care learning environment is. There's just so many different disciplines that work within primary care, and particularly for our student nurses, to be able to see the progression from practice nurse to ANP, and look at all the different roles that our practice nurses do within the CCGs regionally, is just really, really incredible. As we said before, kind of working within the PCNs, what we're really trying to do is give groups of learners to PCNs, so student nurses with a paramedic, with a physician associate student, and that way you can really tease out the best of each profession. And if we get our students working together while they're students, different professions, they're more likely to engage and to understand their roles when they're qualified as well. In primary care, some of our innovations are around project-based work. This sometimes helps for our smaller surgeries that can only take, who only have one practice nurse. Sometimes we can give some project-based work, so we can ease the pressures on capacity within those practices. And within our PCNs, we've got so many different professions. So within the NMC standard of student supervision and assessment, if we've got all these different registered workforce that can act as supervisors, especially for our undergraduate nurses, it means that we can increase capacity in that way and use our nurses for the practice assessment role. So we're being really clever and creative in the way that we are using our PCNs to take student nurses, and it's all just really exciting. There's just so much potential, and just primary care is just such a great place to be at the moment.
Jenny, thank you so much for that. And I want to thank both you and Sarah for the innovation that you delivered in Manchester. It's of fundamental importance, not only to those learners, but also to the wider community in Greater Manchester. And was so key to enabling us to combat coronavirus. So there's much learning to be taken from this innovation, but the fundamental importance, not only of primary care, but also of that particular innovation that took place in other areas of the UK as well, and students across the UK were involved in that, cannot be underplayed. So thank you.